The Kate Daly Show is not afraid to tell the hard truth. Maybe an interpretive dance can soften the blow. The show starts now.
Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. Your playing small does not serve the world. There is nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. We were all meant to shine as children do. It's not just in some of us, it's in everyone. And as we let our own light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. As we are liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others.
Welcome, Kate Daly Show. Glad you're tuning in. I want to talk about a few current things, and then I want to kind of veer off the well-worn, beaten political path, if you will, and talk about something a little more dear to my heart, and how we're going to get through all of this, if you'll allow me that. Because I was thinking about it last night, and it was weighing heavy on my mind that we are in a really weird time, obviously, and the foreshadowing of events kind of coming our way with this constant tyrannical government getting bigger. Okay, and how are we going to deal with that? And I find myself discouraged this year a little bit more than normal, and so I'd like to address that. If you will. So before I get there, just a couple of things going on right now. There's a lot of people that are really trying to call and get their messages out of do not lock us down again. And can we have a little more South Dakota and a lot less how we've done things in Utah. Now, a lot of you feel like, well, you know, we were pretty okay here. Not locked down completely, but still locked down. Okay. And so there was some credit given. Oh, well, you know, our state wasn't like California. Well, I don't always want to compare us to the worst Gestapo state in the union. As a barometer of success, okay? Because I would hope we wouldn't compare ourselves to the state that I grew up in, because it's embarrassing to do that. I would rather kind of make it so that we are in comparison to a much better situation, and that would be full liberty. And where do we land there? Because yesterday we were asking the question of, well, you know, what do we celebrate on the 4th of July? We're going to celebrate our liberty? What are we going to do? What's left of our liberty? I'm not quite sure what to celebrate, to tell you the truth. So we'll talk about that. And I also want to say, please encourage and others, get on social media, let your voices be heard on making sure that people understand that there are grassroots movements going on right now that are very powerful and that we need to be a part of, to be able to get ahead of this a little bit more. We just went through that lockdown. Do we want to go through it again? Because we have a governor that's sort of hell-bent on listening to the you know, Hitler-esque Fauci of the world, who's failed in his career so many times, it's sickening, and wants to listen to him, wants to get a pat on the back, wants to be told by the deep state that he's wonderful. He will do their bidding. So will Spencer Cox. They show up in their masks. You know, it was interesting. Somebody put up on Facebook, it might have even been Greg Mannarino, who'll be on the show in a few weeks, by the way, again, talking about money. He's our Wall Street guy. And he was talking about the fact that is this what they were talking about? Is this the mark of the future? You know, we all thought it would be a chip embedded. Maybe it's the mask. Maybe that's part of it. Maybe so. You know, the mask is a really good barometer about where somebody stands politically as well, right? Because by now, if you can't see the truth of what's going on and you're still so deeply behind, you know, the mask and its ambitions and what it's seeking to do, and you're still bamboozled by the whole thing, I don't know if there's going to be a lot of hope for you. So in that case, is the mask that mark? Is the mask this very, very visual, outward, sort of expression of I am supporting this whole new world order. Now, what I just said, if you're new to the show, is going to sound so bizarre. But if you've done enough research and study, you're going to know exactly what I'm talking about. So it's getting a little strange. But please be behind those movements. Support those movements. Don't care what your neighbor thinks. Don't care if you alienate a few people along the way. It's okay. Right now is the time to speak out, not be quiet and silent. Because we've got our future at stake and our kids' future at stake. And I know that we're probably worried about your kids and grandkids and what kind of world are they going to grow up in if we're allowing this to happen? This is the time to fight back. So I was listening, you know, we all are aware of the Vallow story with those kids, and they found the remains in Chad Daybell's home. Chad Daybell, also the publisher for Julie Rowe, by the way. And so as creepy and evil as these two appear to be, Lori Vallow and Chad Daybell, and it's sickening. And I've been sickened the whole way. I think they got the brother to do it. And I it's just gross. I don't even know how to digest the two of them. And they are not LDS. I am. I'm LDS. They are not LDS. Okay. They're in their whole little own religion. So when the news reports them as being Mormon, no, they're not. they invented a whole new religion for themselves of evil. But they were showing how they could go back and look at satellite photos, and they could take a picture of when the daughter was buried in the backyard of Chad Daybell. And they were showing that on KSL radio or KSL TV that they could show this picture. They could go back, and they have so many pictures taken daily of all of our property, of where we are and what's going on in the world with these satellite images, that they could go back and purchase a picture of that property pretty much the exact time that the brother of Lori Vallow was on the property, possibly burying the body of, or the remains of, his niece. And I thought, you know, a lot of us would be glad that we could get a hold of this photo. Maybe it's more evidence, you know, of the wrongdoing, of course. And I understand why anyone would feel that way. I want justice to be done for those kids and the spouses and the everybody else that was murdered along the way, for those two evil people to get together. At the same time, think about that for a moment. You can go back and purchase a photo of any given time on your property of a satellite moving through. We don't realize what we're up against, right? We don't realize that we're being watched a lot, and that there's constant, and you could say, well, it's kind of like the emergency alert system. It's great for finding somebody. It's bad, as we saw it roll out, as far as all of a sudden leaving a state border now is something of a completely different experience, right? Because they're using the emergency alert system for something like texting all of us our phones when our phones leave a designated area. That's dangerous. And we're always going to have that more dangerous side of this technology. And this technology, I think, is far beyond what we can comprehend in the terms of ability of what it can do to us. And I was weighed down by this because I thought, wow, we're up against a lot. And it's really, really easy right now to get discouraged in that, because you feel like, oh my gosh, we have so much technology pinning us wherever we go. How do you escape that? How do you live in a world like this? And the only thought I kept coming up with was, you make your home a sanctuary, right? Your home is your sanctuary, and even then you have all these electronics and all these things happening. You've got 5G rolling out. You've got all this stuff going on right now that the technology can be so used against us. How do we unpack that and deal with it and live in this society and still have hope that we can keep restoring some of our liberty? How do we do this? That's a tough question to answer for a lot of people, because I get a lot of emails, and the emails and messages I get are, how do we have hope? How do we figure out what to do with this? And the only answers that I can go to are more spiritual nature, because that's really in hope. When I go into the hope part of this, that's the only hope I can go into. Because I know what we're up against. So do you, right? We're doing our homework. We all understand. I'm preaching to the choir here. So what? How are we going to do this? And I do have a lot of hope in our future. I really do. I have a lot of hope. And I want to discuss that coming back after this break, because I'm going to really veer off the beaten path. And I want to talk about a near-death experience. And I read this book quite some time ago on an airplane, and it had profound effect on me, and I'm hoping to pass that along to you, because it did give me a lot of hope in really kind of sitting down and realizing the big picture. But at the same time, we've got to get through this day to day, and it does feel discouraging when you're looking at politicians and the disgracefulness of the lies and the despicable nature of things that we get to see up front and personal. You know, I look around my own city and I'm so disgusted with the politicians. I'm so disgusted. They're a cog in the wheel of our, the demise of liberty. And knowingly or unknowingly, they're there. They're that cog in the wheel, and they're a piece of that. And how are we, as a community, as a state, as a country, going to deal with what's upon us? And so I am going to veer off the well-beaten path today, in this hour. And I really do kind of want you to think about what gives you hope. And even if it's coming from that spiritual realm, that's great. Let's hear it. I don't mind if you call in. That's fine with me. I just think that we need to talk about that a little bit more. You know, there's a lot of shows that don't dare go there because they might offend the three atheists that are listening to the show. Well, this near-death experience is from an atheist, so this will be very interesting for you. I don't care if somebody's offended by their own spiritual beliefs. I don't care. So even somebody more atheist or somebody that's not very spiritual can listen to this and gain something here. And I think that's probably the most important part of that message, is there's something in this message for all of us to kind of think about, right? So I'm going to come right back. I want to share this with you, and I want to get your thoughts as well. So I will open up the phone lines, and I want your calls. And then we have Melissa. Then we've got Susan. We've got some great topics ahead. You're going to love today's show. Be right back on The Kate Daly Show.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is The Kate Daly Show.
Hi there. Welcome back. Kate Daly Show for you. Let's have a chat about something a little different in the rest of the show in this hour today. And then I invite Melissa and Susan on, and we're going to go through a lot of information with the two of them. And they always bring something compelling to the show, so sure will be interesting today. Welcome back. And of course, make sure you get over to ABC, Auto Body Central. These guys are honest, and I really like to deal with honest, good people. And ABC is a terrific company. In fact, they've taken care of my own cars, and that's how I know that, as I've worked with them personally. They really are that good. And I would actually recommend, if you're in an accident, go to them. They'll work with your insurance company for you. You can go to stgeorgebodyshop.com. They'll get you back in your car quick. And even the rental car companies, when you go to rent your car, they're going to say, I mentioned I had gotten an accident and I had to rent a car. Who are you working with? And I told them it was ABC Auto Body Central. And they went, oh, we love those guys. We always hear great things about them. And so just so you know, word is out that they are spectacular to work with. And ABC Auto Body Central, you'll love the experience, and they will lessen the stress for you. They'll come to you and look at your car and assess it over at your home, even if you want them to, and they'll be very communicative right from the beginning. So they really kind of let you in on every single step of the way and get you back into your car quick. ABC Auto Body Central. You can go to stgeorgebodyshop.com, stgeorgebodyshop.com, and it's 817-0949. 817-0949. Go ahead and ask them, ask away any questions. So let me play this clip for you. This is, I hate these guys on Good Morning America, can I just tell you? But I'm going to play this clip so you get the synopsis of this story. Because I read this book a few years back on an airplane, and there was a couple of things about it that hit me in, and I want to share those with you today in trying to find some hope in what we're dealing with right now as a society, in all of the stuff we feel like is just really hindering what's happening to our daily lives. So here's the story of Proof of Heaven. Here you go. Here's a two-minute clip from Good Morning America. Blah, I hate Good Morning America, but here you go.
Stunning new book by the prominent doctor who not only claims he's been to heaven, but says he can prove it. Eben Alexander almost died 4 years ago when an infection attacked his brain. Now he's revealing his experience in his book, Proof of Heaven. And Nightline anchor Terry Moran has his story.
Eben Alexander is a healthy 58-year-old Harvard-trained neurosurgeon, a man of science, an expert on the brain, and he's got something extraordinary to tell you.
Did you go to heaven?
Yes.
4 years ago, Alexander nearly died from a massive brain infection that plunged him into a coma and shut down nearly his entire mind. He was barely alive in this world, but he says he journeyed elsewhere.
I was rescued by this beautiful spinning white light that had a melody, indescribably beautiful melody, that opened up into a bright valley, very verdant valley, blossoming flowers.
And he says God was there as a vast presence of infinite love. He met a young woman, he says, his guide as they soared on a butterfly wing, and she gave him a message from heaven.
You are loved, you are cherished, there's nothing you have to fear. There's nothing you can do wrong.
A lot of people are going to say, doctor, it was a hallucination.
I know this was not a hallucination, not a dream, not what we call a confabulation. I know that it really occurred, and I know it occurred outside of my brain.
As a neurosurgeon and a skeptic about God before his coma, Alexander says there is no scientific explanation for what he experienced, given how sick his brain was, how near death. Other scientists dismiss his claims, but there's this. After he recovered, he was sent a picture of a long-dead sister he had never met or seen. It was her, the girl he believes he saw on the butterfly wing in heaven.
It was the most profound experience I've ever had in this life.
For Good Morning America, Terry Moran.
So the story goes that who greeted him in heaven was this girl, and he didn't know her. He didn't know her face. He'd never seen her before. And it ended up being his long lost sister. He was shown a photograph 4 months after his experience, and he went, "That's the girl." And as he was describing this moment, because it really, that was kind of the aha moment, right, of the book that sort of cemented maybe that he was telling the truth about this near-death experience. In fact, I'm not quite sure why a lot of people would lie about a near-death experience, because it, you know, they put themselves up for fodder for the world out there to kind of condemn what they're saying. But it was the fact that this girl, he didn't know who she was, and he didn't know why he felt that he knew her when he was with her, but he had never seen her before. And it ended up being his long-lost sister that sort of guided him through his experience. And he said, you know, later on, he said, you know, if I was writing the story of a near-death experience, it would have been a loved one of mine. It would have been my father. It would have been somebody I knew that I would have thought would have greeted me and been there with me, but it wasn't. And he said, and I was surprised by that, as other people should be too. That should clue people in that if you're going to write your own near-death experience or make it up, you probably would insert a loved one that you knew that had passed on before you. I thought that's kind of interesting. Probably. But he said, and so I would have written my father in had I created the story. But on the other hand, you know, that's not what happened. So I was kind of pondering this and thinking about this a little bit more. And one of the things that that I have to say that was very, very interesting to me is when he was in the middle of this experience, he saw light coming up, right, as he was sort of in the sky looking down and kind of this bird's eye view of humanity. He sees these lights coming up, And all of a sudden, he has a visual of somebody he had met years and years ago who was sort of a spiritual teacher, because he's an atheist. He's an atheist neurosurgeon. And he just was not a spiritual guy, was not a religious guy, nothing. And so he had met this gentleman, and it ended up where he had a visual of his wife kneeling at her bedside praying. And he all of a sudden put it together that this was a prayer and it was going up, and he could actually see different places with light coming up. And so as he got this visual of her praying for him, and he was warmed by that thought and completely just amazed by that, because he did not know her. He didn't know her very well. And he thought, why would she be praying for me, and why am I able to see it visually? The effect of it. And here he is kind of describing this in one of his lectures. Let me give you this.
And in that core realm, I remember the one thing I brought back that I could really bring back to this world was the sound that I heard there. I've told you how sound and vibration are so important in all of this. Well, in that core realm, with that infinite inky blackness, that all-loving, all-powerful deity beyond any naming, I heard that sound of Aum, that eternal resonance of all of infinity and eternity. The word God was way too puny a little human word. And I remember at that point seeing thousands of beings around me in this very kind of misty, murky existence going all around me, these beings. And there was this murmuring energy coming up from them. And the thing that was so shocking is that murmuring energy brought the very same all-loving feeling that I'd come to know in the gateway realm and in the core with that unconditional love of the Creator. And I remember how comforting that was, and all these beings going off around me. And I remember when I wrote all that up a few weeks later, I said what those beings were doing was praying. That's what I was feeling, was the power of that prayer, and how prayer can actually bring the power of that realm right into this realm and can help in our healing.
Wow. I thought that was so fascinating, honestly, because I thought, you know, maybe we don't realize the power of that. Maybe there's something that that sort of clouds that vision of the bigger picture. And maybe, just maybe, what could it hurt? What could it hurt at this point is that prayer is so vital and important. And even those listening that are, if you're offended by what I'm saying right now, think about why you're offended. Why are you offended by that? If this can help, and this is something that connects us to God, and this connects us to what we're praying about and what we desire, why would that offend? Maybe it shouldn't offend you. Maybe you should probably look at why it would offend you. And for those that are nodding their head going, yeah, it's a big deal. Prayer's a really big deal. And I'm one of those. I believe in the power of prayer. Do we realize we could transform what's going on? Because this is much bigger than us. And the fact is, we have a lot of help. We have a lot of help. I don't know if we realize that sometimes. Do we realize how big this is? And that we're not here alone, and that we are not going through all of this alone, but that we actually have a ton of help? And even if you don't believe it, have you ever felt it? I have. This is him talking about that help.
You, and it was a rip that opened up into this brilliant, ultra-real valley. And I remember ascending up into this valley, up into this brilliant greenery, lush with life, absolutely fertile. And I had no body awareness, but I was moving up through it because I was a speck on a butterfly wing. Now, this was not a butterfly like some entomologist here on Earth can give you genus and species. This was the real deal. And butterflies in that realm, just like we often have dragonflies, butterflies, and hummingbirds that are messengers from that realm, from souls of the departed loved ones. And there are thousands of stories out there. I'm sure there's some in this room about that very phenomenon. But in that realm, butterflies are far more powerful and amazing than they are in this realm. And I was a speck of awareness, and it turns out on this wing of this butterfly, this was one of millions of butterflies, and they were looping and swirling in this beautiful river of love and color and life beyond description. And I remember how we would dip down and go through that lush greenery, and there would be flowers and blossoms, buds on trees that would open up even as we flew by. I remember the rich textures and colors beyond the rainbow. And so beautiful. And in that beautiful valley, as we would come up and ascend above all that greenery, I could see that there were hundreds of souls dancing. And when I wrote it all up weeks later, as I came back to this world and was trying to record the whole experience, I described them as being dressed in peasant garb, very simple clothing, yet beautiful colors, and tremendous joy and merriment. And there were lots of children playing and dogs jumping, and it was just a wonderful festival. And it was all being fueled because up above, in the velvety black skies above, were pure spiritual beings, orbs of golden light, swooping and swirling in formation, leaving sparkling golden trails, emanating these hymns, chants, anthems, powerful like a tsunami wave, crescendo after crescendo after crescendo of the most beautiful music, waves washing through me. And that's what was fueling this incredible joy and mirth going on in this Gateway Valley, as I came to call it. Now, the important thing to understand is that that Gateway Valley was much more real than this world. Far sharper, crisper, and more real than this. This is very dreamlike by comparison.
Interesting. Be right back on the Kate Daly Show.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
Hi there. Welcome back, Kate Daly Show. I think, you know, whenever I start feeling a little overwhelmed by society and what's going on, And I'm sure there have been many more before me that have felt this way in each generation. And I'm sure that there always will be, because we'll always be facing a certain amount of adversity. And I know it feels like it's a huge amount right now. Feels like pretty thick, right? Because there's not a whole lot you can count on. There's not a whole lot you can trust out there. And we have some pretty crazy conversations going on between people that you just feel like, does anyone get it? Does anyone realize what we're losing here? And it can give you some anxiety. And I'm not to say that that anxiety isn't a good thing sometimes, because it can push us to do things and that we probably maybe out of our comfort zone a little bit. And that's a good thing, I think. I think it's a great thing to get out of our comfort zone a little bit. Sometimes we just get a little too comfortable. But I do know this, and I'm reminded of it all the time. And that's usually what brings me a lot of peace, if you want to know, because people ask me how I do this every day. And I have to have a lot of peace in my life in order to do this because of the stuff I'm reading and a lot of stuff I haven't even brought to the show yet. And that is that the spiritual aspects, belief in God, understanding that we have a lot of help from the other side, understanding that we are not alone in this and that we face the adversity. We still have to fight for it. We can't just be silent. We've got to fight. But that's what gives me peace. And so I'm not shy about that, not even on the show, because I feel like I'm just got to be me on the show. And this is part of probably the biggest part of me that I can share with you, is how I get through every day of diving into this 8, 10, 12 hours sometimes in a day, right? How am I still having hope? Well, there have been a lot of generations that have fought different battles. And I always think they were aided by the other side. I never think we're alone. When we got this country by a whole slew of miracles. There was no reason for us to win that revolution. There was no reason at all. And the only reason was the grace of God, because there was no other way it could have happened. And I know that. There's no doubt in my mind. We were up against the biggest army in the world. And only by the grace of God and miracles did we ever get America. And did we ever get this level of liberty. So it's very much worth fighting for. And there's one more thing I want to share with you about Eben Alexander's experience, because this is coming from an atheist. So that's why I think sharing this is so important with people, no matter where you're at on this. I don't care where you're at. I think this is something good for everybody to hear. But he talks about adversity. He talks about the adversities that he sort of witnessed as to why the adversity is there. And give a listen. This is only a minute long. Here you go.
They are gifts. They are opportunity for growth of our souls. We are all here as members of soul groups to do this growing. And when I talk about soul mates, I'm not just talking about that love of your life. I also came to see that often those who I had seen before my coma as my nemesis, you know, as someone who was in my way, preventing me from getting something I wanted in this life, often is a very near and dear soul mate. And I came to see the power of that love, that unconditional love, to heal. It heals the individual. It heals the soul group. It heals all of humanity. It heals life all around this world. And it heals consciousness throughout this universe, because there are many sentient beings in many civilizations throughout all of eternity throughout this universe. This is a much bigger party than I might have ever thought before. And this is all part of our joining that much bigger awareness and knowing of consciousness in its grandest sense.
You know, I liked that piece because I thought, you know, we don't realize sometimes, you know, this adversity that we face right now, the lying, cheating politicians, the overwhelming government, the problems, the people that are driven with crime and looting and rioting, what we face in the future within this next few years, at least, of the medical martial law that's going on in this country. All of these things that we're facing, all of that adversity makes us better. This adversity that we're all facing together, there's reasons for that. And we're not exempt. And like I said, every century before us has faced their adversities and the things they were fighting. This is ours. And that gives me a lot of hope, because I know there's a lot of help from the other side. And I know that we're not by ourselves. And I think even if you go back to the revolution, in the times when we were trying to create a land of liberty, you can't not acknowledge the fact that there was so much help given in that experience. And that's why it is worth fighting for right now, that we have a job to do and a duty and a responsibility, and we can't be exempt from that. And the fact that we all know, listening to this show right now, I'll tell you something. The fact that you're listening to this, or that you know what this struggle is very telling, because it means that you're very well aware that you have to be in this fight. So you can't ignore it. You know, the oblivious out there, well, hopefully they'll tune in at some point, but the oblivious out there, that's whatever they're dealing with. I don't know. But I know that us as a community, what we have now a responsibility, because you know, your heart's been touched by all of that. You know what's going on. You see it. You have eyes to see it. That means that you've got to be in the fight. And whether that's speaking out, that uncomfortable realm of maybe a neighbor not liking you because you're going to speak out, or maybe you're sitting around a table instructing your kids and they're rolling their eyes, but you do it anyway. Whatever it is, whatever part of that fight you want to join in, we have got to keep establishing and fighting for that liberty. It's that important. And I, you know, that's what gives me hope, is that I know that there's help. There's help. And when I was looking at that last night, it was kind of interesting, because I kept getting reminded of that, you know, that when he watched those prayers going up as a nation, if we pray as a nation, if we pray as a world, if we understand our place in this universe, right? If we can understand that and be humbled by it, and then use that to help us sort of restore some of these things, if we can, if we're able, what a blessing that would be in all of our lives. And I just wanted to share that with you because that's how I get through this, honestly, every day, is knowing that. And that's always been a knowing of mine. It's always been there. It's never not been there. I don't ever remember not feeling like that. And maybe that's part of why I get to do what I'm doing every day. I don't know. For almost a decade is that all-knowing. I just know. And maybe you're feeling that way too. I'm going to guess that you are. And I really appreciate all your contributions to keeping me on the air and helping more people figure these things out. And even through this show, the guests that we have, the things that we're able to say and do, the freedom that we have to say and do that, I know that won't last for a long time. So right now, I really appreciate thank you for keeping me here and helping to keep these sort of messages out there, because we don't get to hear this a lot. If you tune into the news, I went over headlines yesterday. Wow. It's one thing after another. And we're all going to die every second, and there's no hope and everything else. There's a ton of hope. We have a ton of hope. We have more hope now in the things we're able to do than they even had at their disposal during the revolution. Honestly, we have more help right now, but we feel like we don't. And I'm sure they felt like they didn't either. But we actually have the advantage right now of figuring this out, talking to each other, communicating, and we can use all of those things for good. So I think it's great. I get excited about that. I really, really do. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
God bless you, Katie Darling.
Thanks.
It's true.
Yeah.
What this man is explaining, I've been there. I've seen it. And like you, I've known since my earliest recollection.
Yep.
And what he's explaining is the divine imperative.
Yeah.
And we each have access to it. Mm-hmm. But we have to want it, and we have to work for it, and we have to be put through the fire. You don't create steel
mm-hmm.
until you put it through the fire.
Yep, and we don't get to just relax.
The reality is that above the Arctic Circle, mm-hmm. they say many are cold, but few are frozen. The reality is many are called, but few are chosen.
Yeah, thank you for that. Really appreciate it. Thank you. I love it. You know, if you think about all those that have gone before us and all those that that could be helping during this particular time, know that there's a lot of gifts and miracles happening all the time around us. And so for those that seek to do evil or are a cog in the wheel, and maybe they're just too stupid to realize it, I don't know. You know what? There are a lot of gifts. We're given a lot of miracles, and I do believe that, and with my whole heart. And I do believe that our spiritual eyes better be very open to what's going on right now, because it really is between a fight between good and evil. It really is. And every single thing, think about all the research I've done. If you haven't done that kind of research, that's okay. I'm here to tell you, after doing so much research that you could ever possibly, I think I've earned like 5 PhDs doing this show in reading and studying and putting pieces together. Let me tell you that this is definitely a fight between good and evil playing out here on Earth right now, and that we're part of this, and that we are in it for a reason, and you're alive on this Earth for a reason, and that you have a role to play. And that you're not exempt from that role. No matter how you are part of this, no matter what contribution you give to this, no matter what you do, you're here for a definite reason. And part of your role here, and I think your responsibility here, is to fight for this freedom. Because there's a difference. You know, when I had Portia on, who has spent time in prison, she said there's liberty and there's freedom. When freedom is when you have the choices within the environment to choose how you're going to react or how you're going to feel or what you're going to do within a certain set of experiences, right? In prison, it was the freedom to choose how she was going to feel. It's different than liberty. And liberty was the ability to move about freely, to live in this world and to be able to have the freedoms, all the freedoms at your disposal. The freedom of choice plus the freedom of moving about, right? And there's something very special about that because in the spiritual realm of that, there's free agency. That's where free agency is such an important piece of this. And that's what ties all that together as it's sort of the battle between good and evil, is to preserve our free agency. And that's why America was so vital and had to happen. It was so important to this world that we had to have this country to be able to understand religious freedom and freedom of all kinds, right? Liberty of all kinds. And people came here and they still clamor to come here because of our liberty. So we have to defend that for not only us, but our future generations too. And at no time can we ever give up and just say we've been overcome by it and they win and there's just too many forces at bay. We just can't fight it anymore. At no time can we ever do that. I never want to return to my creator and say, sorry, I gave up. Sorry, I just sat there. Sorry, I did nothing. Because I do think we're going to be accountable for that. We really will. What did you do with your liberty that you were given? What did you do with that gift? So I share this with you today because of the hope of the fact that prayer does work. We do have help. There are miracles happening. There are lots of wonderful things that are going on. Despite the news and despite all the stuff we get to hear and we feel like it's coming down on us, there still are all of those things going on, and they're going on in a huge amount. I mean, a vast amount that I think we can't even quantify. And I'm really grateful for those things. So I leave that with you today and hope that gives you a little bit more hope that you are aided and abetted by an army of souls, of people that are helping that you might not be able to see, but I really do feel like they're there. And I really feel like we are really blessed. We're blessed beyond anything I could ever imagine right now. But we also have to do our part. So I thank you for tuning into this and giving me the space in order to say these things. And because it really, it's from my heart. If you know me, you know it's from my heart. And I really have to share with you what keeps me going. And hopefully it keeps you going too. I'll be right back with Melissa and Susan. Don't go anywhere. Kate Daly Show, katedalyradio.com.